This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 2013 has turned into the year America focuses on its farms. That's because the new federal farm bill expires at the end of September, and the House and Senate are trying to get a new bill passed. But getting that done has become one of the great legislative challenges of this year because there are such big differences between the two chambers. For one thing, debate over the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The House and Senate have each passed their versions, and the differences between the two are big. For one thing, the SNAP program has been stripped right out of the House version. Democrats balked, and earlier this week, the House Democratic Caucus sent a letter to Republican Speaker John Boehner urging him to include food stamps in the final version of a House farm bill. So let's take a closer look at the ongoing political saga of this all, which has serious economic implications for Michigan and for the nation. To do so, we welcome Ryan Findley. He's the National Legislative Counsel at the Michigan Farm Bureau. Hello, Ryan.
Good afternoon.
And a professor at the Michigan State University Department of Agricultural, Food, and Resource Economics. We are glad to have back onto the program David Schweikert.
Thank you.
Ryan, I want to start with you, if I might. There are clearly issues causing major disagreement between the House and between the Senate. Can you tell us which are causing the greatest division? Do they run along party lines?
Well, I think you're asking the right question right at the beginning, and that's what is the underlying problem here?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody has that answer. I think some people are going to point to what you just alluded to, the difference in food stamp funding. Everyone refers to it as food stamps when we're sitting around talking, but it is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. What's important to note is that that SNAP program makes up around 80% of the entire farm bill. So when we're talking about the farm bill, there's a lot of discussion on the agricultural component, but a majority of the funding is really for the food stamp or the SNAP program. When we look at farmers, when we look at the agricultural programs that are in there, we can talk about the conservation programs, we can talk about crop insurance, we can talk about commodity programs typically for the corn, soybean, wheat growers in Michigan, including the dairy industry.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the differences between the House and Senate versions on those programs, they become much, much more minor. It's a subtle difference between the two.
Something that could be ironed out in committee and
Absolutely.
Moved forward.
Yes.
So the big stumbling point is SNAP.
I think that's what a lot of people would say. Now, you're going to have some that would say, well, we need to cut more from the agricultural programs that are out there, and they voted against the bill because enough wasn't cut from the agricultural programs. But there's both sides to this, so it's a challenge. I think from a farmer perspective, farmers are going to say, hey, the bills are pretty close. There's some differences that could be ironed out pretty quick. From a legislator conversation, it's going to evolve more into, well, where do we save money? And if we need to save money, what program do you cut? Some people want to cut ag. Some people want to cut food stamps, and you have a disagreement there.
David Schweikert, food assistance has been attached to the farm bills since, what, about the 1970s?
Yes, 1970 and then 73 farm bills were the first two that really created this farm program food stamp coalition, if you will.
And why did that happen in the first place?
Well, it happened for a very pragmatic reason. I think it's a reason that some people still do not agree with, and I can understand that, but it was a very practical political reason. In 1973, the Agriculture Committee looked around. It looked at a changing American society with a shrinking farm population and an increased percentage of people in urban and suburban areas, and it had to confront the blunt reality that they could not pass a farm bill that had only farm subsidies in it. The rest of society was asking, what's in it for me?
Hmm.
What's in it for my district? What's in it for my constituents? And the Ag Committee made the judgment at that time, rightly or wrongly, that they were going to put the two together and build a coalition around that basis. I guess I would put it very bluntly, if our fathers and grandfathers believed that they could not pass a farm-only farm bill in 1973, 40 years ago, I have no idea what makes us think that we're so smart that we know how to do it today.
So here we have the situation. Is there any upside at all to having two separate bills?
Well, it depends on what your initial objectives are. Is there any upside if your objective is to end farm programs and your objective is to end nutrition programs? There's not a better way on this earth you could accomplish that goal than to have two separate bills, because that's what the outcome will be. In fact, there have been many people in the last 20 years, many members of Congress, who want to end those programs, who have advocated exactly that strategy. And now it appears that we have accidentally stumbled into that strategy.
Hmm.
So if that's my objective, that's a pretty good way to accomplish it. Other than that, I'm not sure that there would be any reason to, for anyone to think there's an upside to that approach. Maybe Ryan disagrees, but I'm not. But I don't see what it would be.
No, I think that from an agricultural perspective, there's a lot of people that say when you have a farm bill, and it's important to know that the farm bill isn't just agriculture and it's not just food stamps, but we have a whole bunch of other programs in there. There's a lot of rural development programs, a lot of grants that go to rural communities so that they can work on infrastructure projects. We have energy programs that are in the farm bill. The farm bill is a lot more than what everybody thinks it is, and my perception is that people view it just as agriculture, and it goes way beyond that.
Is that a failure somehow of the farm lobby or backers of the bill to let us know all the other elements involved?
I don't think so. I think it's just the reality that people are used to calling it the farm bill because that is the primary farm policy that impacts agriculture today.
Let me add one other thing, and I agree with Ryan completely. I think we call it the Farm Bill today mainly because it's a tradition and it's simple language and easy to use. Let's go a little bit further. We had the Farm Bill Food Stamp the Farm Program Food Stamp Coalition in 1973. Well, what happened next? Well, in the late 70s, and then especially in the 85 Farm Bill, suddenly environmental and conservation programs became a much bigger part of the coalition. Why did that happen? That happened because society changed and society's preferences changed and society's demand for things like environmental quality changed. And again, I'm not going to defend this as good or bad policy, but simply reality, we made the decision that we wanted society to bear part of the cost of dealing with those environmental issues and not leave it to farmers alone to have to pay those costs. So we added environmental and conservation programs over time. We added rural development programs over time. We added program after program over time because the world kept getting more complicated. It wasn't 1933 anymore. It wasn't even 1973 anymore. And as the world got more complicated, we kept adding new policy tools to the mix, i.e. more things in the Farm Bill, because we had more policy targets. If your only target in policy is to raise farm income, I can write you a really simple one-page bill that will do that for you. But if your policy includes farmer income, environmental quality, consumer prices, the diets of low-income people, all of a sudden I have multiple targets. I can no more hit multiple targets with one simple tool than I can hit five birds with one stone. And so this, what we've seen here is this growth in the number of policy targets, and it requires additional policy tools, and that means that you have more programs in there than just farm programs like we did before 73. And that's not agriculture's fault. And I realize that, we do put a lot of burden on farm groups to try to explain all this and justify this to society. But again, that's in a sense not their responsibility either. We're asking them to do what we ought to be doing as citizens in understanding why the world is the way it is.
So what happens, do you think, if we've certainly seen a lot of problem on Capitol Hill, the dysfunction of Capitol Hill where things don't get done? So let's say they can't work out these differences in committee, and the clock keeps ticking, and both the SNAP and the Farm Bill expire in September. Then what?
Well, I'll go first on that one. I think we're really in a no man's land here. We're in getting back into uncharted territory, and by that I mean I don't think that there's any enthusiasm for an extension, another extension like we had this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can pass an extension on the floor of the House or the Senate that would be temporary in nature. So I don't think that's going to work. I would argue the only reason we got an extension this year is it was tied to the fiscal cliff deal in December of 2012. In other words, it was the Farm Bill extension was the small guy riding along on the big package of the fiscal cliff deal. If you don't have a fiscal cliff crisis this year, and hopefully we won't, then how is the Farm Bill going to tag along for an extension? I don't see that there's any enthusiasm for an extension. I don't see any way that there's something big coming along that the Farm Bill can ride along for an extension. I think we are in some real no man's land here from here to the end of the year on what we will do next. We either go to conference or we're stuck.
And what's the view from the Michigan Farm Bureau, Ryan Findley?
I think Dr. Schweikart's right with a lot of what he's saying. I think let's go back a little bit and I was afraid you were going to go with the dysfunction of Congress, and I was going to say that's probably not something that we want to talk about
sure.
on this show. But let's talk about the benefit of putting the Farm Bill together. So Dr. Schweikart just mentioned several different programs, whether they're conservation or some of the nutrition programs. Agriculture has changed a lot in the last 100 years. I think people would say that a lot of programs, not just in agriculture, but society has changed a lot in the last 50 years. One of the benefits of tying all these programs together and asking Congress to review it every 5 years is that they can make changes as programs evolve, as conservation practices evolve, as agricultural practices evolve. We have a chance to look at this package of bills and say, is this the right direction or do we need to reform it? So that's the incentive of encouraging Congress to continually look at this every 5-6 years to make sure that the programs they have in place are appropriate. When you break it up, a couple of things happen. You don't have the chance at review. You may not even bring it up. You may lose some programs that are very beneficial because they just won't make it to the docket for Congress. And so there's a lot of challenges to not including all of this together. But that is a challenge that's facing this Congress is what do you do now? If we let the Farm Bill expire September 30th of 2013, what happens? And I think that's a question that a lot of people in Congress are asking right now. And the answer is not a lot for the first month or so. But come December 31st of 2013, that's when the permanent law kicks in for some programs such as dairy. And we heard the conversation a year ago on dairy prices going through the roof. Well, the program that would be in place that we would revert to would cause that again. And so if Congress has three options. They can pass an extension, they can pass a new bill, or they can let it expire. And if they let it expire, we're going to run into problems. I don't think the votes are there for an extension. The best option right now is to pass a bill that comes out of conference that both chambers can agree with. I think that's the best decision, but it's probably one of the most challenging.
The people listening to our conversation who perhaps didn't realize how much the Farm Bill impacts their day-to-day life, what should we all be watching for as this summer progresses? Dr. Schweikert, I'll start with you with that.
Well, I guess I've come to the conclusion what we're seeing here is a much broader issue of the use of the conference process as a last-ditch attempt to block what you do not want. And so I think it'll be a real clear sign that we're going to move ahead if there is a conference committee appointed very quickly. And if there's not, we're going to find out what the no man's land really looks like. There's not going to be a bill passed.
And Ryan, what's it look like at the Michigan Farm Bureau? What are you watching?
I think it's time to start looking for a church and start praying. I think that there's a lot of farmers that are frustrated right now over Congress. and the fact that we can't get the Farm Bill passed. Look, we go back, and the Farm Bill is typically bipartisan. Both sides of the aisle agree on this. If anything, we have regional differences that tend to flare up during the Farm Bill, but it's always bipartisan. And I think a lot of farmers are frustrated that we don't have a Farm Bill right now and that it has become a partisan issue. We've been working on this bill since 2011, when the super committee met to try and figure out the solution to the fiscal crisis in the fall of 2011. There was a proposal for the Farm Bill that would have taken care of this, and that didn't go anywhere. The super committee failed to act. And in 2012, the summer of 2012, we had a bill passed the Senate. We had a bill passed the House Ag Committee, but we couldn't get it to the floor. And so now 2013 comes around, and we're staring September 30th in the face again, and we still don't have a bill. And it's moved through each chamber, and we're waiting for the conference committee. And that will be important for everybody, but farmers are frustrated right now, bottom line. And there's a lot of hope in the countryside, despite the frustration. There's a lot of hope and optimism. Farmers are naturally optimistic, and they're optimistic this year that Congress can come together, put their differences aside, and pass a Farm Bill.
That was Ryan Findley. He is the National Legislative Counsel at the Michigan Farm Bureau. And we've also been speaking with Professor David Schweikart, who's with the Michigan State University Department of Agricultural, Food, and Resource Economics. We want to thank both of you for bringing your expertise to this very, very complicated issue for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.